So Hester didn't run away. Instead, on the outskirts of the town, there was a small thatched cottage, far away from other habitation, and this was where Hester and her child lived. Built and then abandoned by an earlier settler, the remote cottage stood on the shore of the sea in the middle of a clump of trees. Suspicion and curiosity attached themselves to her cottage, and often children, too young to understand why she wore the scarlet letter, would creep to the cottage window and watch her work. Lonely as Hester's existence was, however, she possessed an art for needlework that enabled her to provide food for her and her child. She wore on her breast a fine example of her delicate skill. Her work was in demand all year around for public ceremonies such as ordinations and the installation of magistrates, baby linen and funeral garments. Gradually, her work became fashionable, as her needlework was seen on the ruff of the governor, on military men's scarves and in the coffins of the dead. The only exception when her work was not wanted was in embroidering a bride's white veil. Hester lived a simple existence with her child, wearing somber dresses with only the scarlet letter to adorn them. After she had dressed and fed her child, the rest of her money she gave to charity, even though the poor frequently insulted her. She also spent her time making clothes for them. So in this way, Hester Prynne took her part in society. Sadly, however, she never felt as though she really belonged to it for every word or gesture, and even the silence she came in contact with told her she was banished from that society. Hester had taught herself never to respond to these attacks, if not only with a flush of crimson that rose over her cheek or bosom. She was patient, perhaps a martyr, and she prayed for her enemies. Sometimes in the street, a clergyman would stop to address her with words of appeal, bringing with him a crowd of frowning people around her. If she went to church on a Sunday, she often found herself to be the subject of the sermon, and she came to dread the children who pursued her through the streets with cries and insults. She suffered too when strangers looked curiously at the scarlet letter on her breast. She was always tempted to cover it with her hand, but she never did so. She felt, however, that the scarlet letter had given her a new sense. She couldn't help but believe that it had given her a sympathetic knowledge of the hidden sin in other hearts. Was it nothing but the whisperings of a bad angel, or could it be that the outward appearance of purity was just a lie, and that, if truth were known, a scarlet letter would rest on many a bosom besides that of Hester Prynne's? Whatever the truth, terrific legends and stories were made up about Hester's scarlet letter. One saying that the letter was not just made of cloth, but of red-hot infernal fire that could be seen glowing whenever Hester walked through the streets at night. So what about the little child whose innocent life had sprung from a guilty passion? Pearl was the name of the child. Hester had named her Pearl, meaning of great price, her mother's only treasure. Man had marked her sin with a scarlet letter, but God had given her a beautiful child, but whose place was on the same dishonoured bosom. She knew that her sin was evil, and she therefore had no faith that its result would be good. Day after day she looked fearfully at her child, expecting to find some peculiarity or dark mark of her guilt. But there was no physical defect. Pearl was perfect. She was graceful and beautiful. Hester dressed her in beautiful clothes, decorating her dresses with rich and elaborate motifs. There was almost a circle of radiance about her on the drab cottage floor. Pearl also had her mother's spirit. She was wild and defiant, and she had a flightness of temper and a tendency for gloom and despondency at times. Being a lonely mother to her child, Hester therefore tried very hard to impose a tender but strict control on her child. Often, however, both smiles and frowns failed to have any influence on the impulsive child. Hester was often bewildered by her child, and sometimes asked herself if Pearl was a human child. With a wild flow of spirits, a mocking smile and bright black eyes, Pearl often caused her mother to burst into passionate tears. Only when Pearl slept did Hester really feel quiet, sad, delicious happiness. Very soon Pearl was talking, and what happiness it would have been for Hester to hear Pearl's voice with those of other children. But this could never be. Pearl had been born an outcast in the infantile world, an evil product of sin who had no right among baptized children. Never, since her release from prison, had Pearl left Hester's side. She was always with her mother, first as a baby in her arms, and then as a little girl walking beside her mother, tightly holding her hand. Pearl often saw the Puritan children playing in the street, but she never tried to make friends with them. If the children followed her or gathered around her, as they often did, she would simply throw stones at them. The Puritan children knew there was something strange and bad about Hester and her child, and often shouted after them as they walked through the streets. Pearl felt this hatred, and therefore reacted with an outbreak of her fierce temper. Mother and daughter stood together in the same circle of seclusion from human society. But when she was at home, in and around the cottage with her mother, Pearl didn't want or need friends. Her ever-creative spirit made games from things as simple as a stick, a flower, and even a bunch of rags. Her baby voice could be heard chattering to itself, recreating a multitude of imaginary friends, young and old, while the pine trees that surrounded their cottage served as Puritan elders. Her fantasy worked hard, and she succeeded in transforming everyday objects into imaginary playmates. Watching Pearl, Hester Prynne often dropped her work on her knees and cried out, "Oh, Father in heaven, what is this being that I have brought into the world?" Hearing her mother's cry, Pearl would turn her beautiful face and smile at her mother, then start playing again. One more peculiarity, however, remains to be told of Pearl. What was the very first thing that she noticed in her life? Was it her mother's smile, perhaps? No. It was the scarlet letter on Hester's bosom. One day, as Hester looked into her cradle, baby Pearl's eyes were attracted by the glimmering gold embroidery around the letter. She reached up with her little hand and grasped at the letter, smiling widely at her mother. Startled, Hester tried to pull it away from Pearl's grasp, which only made Pearl look deeply into her mother's eyes and smile. From that moment, only when Pearl was sleeping did Hester feel a moment's safety and calm enjoyment of her. Weeks would pass and Pearl would never look at the scarlet letter. But then she would suddenly see it again, and there would be that same peculiar smile and odd expression in her eyes. Hester was often scared of this smile. One summer afternoon, Pearl had fun gathering handfuls of wild flowers and throwing them, one by one, at her mother's bosom. Hester's first instinct was to cover her bosom with her hands, but out of resignation she uncovered the letter and sat still, looking into Pearl's eyes. "Who are you?" she cried at Pearl. "I am your little Pearl," the child answered as she laughed and danced up and down. "Are you really my child?" continued Hester. "Yes, I am little Pearl," she repeated. "You are not my child. You are no Pearl of mine," cried Hester playfully now. "Tell me, who sent you here?"
"You tell me, Mother," said Pearl, serious now as she came up to Hester's knees.
"The Heavenly Father sent you," replied Hester, although with a little hesitation.
"He did not send me. I have no Heavenly Father," she cried.
"Hush now, Pearl," said Hester, as she embraced her child. But she too could not resolve the mystery of where Pearl had come from. She remembered how some townspeople, searching for Pearl's paternity, had said that she was the demon's offspring. At this recollection, Hester pulled Pearl closer to her and kissed the top of her head.